Hi, my name is Selena. I'm from Crestwood, Illinois. I have an Evo 4G. Now get ready for the Android Central podcast.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It's episode number 49 for Thursday, February 3rd, 2011. I'm friggin' tired.
Well, you had to climb out and look for your shadow yesterday.
I did, actually. That's my other job. I wouldn't mind being Punk's Tony Phil. Work once a year. Like, wake up, crack an eye open, going back to bed. That's it.
The guy in the top hat catches you with that noose.
Smacks me on the butt with whatever that is. I am Punxsutawney Phil. No, I am Phil Nickinson, host of this podcast and Android Central and Groundhog Day. Damn, it feels like Groundhog. It's going to feel like Groundhog Day. So let's just dive into it because it's been a little insane. I just got back this morning. Right now it's Thursday evening. We do this little show live, and I got home about 9 a.m. this morning after taking the red eye back from Mountain View, California. I was out at Google for the Honeycomb event, and it was pretty cool. I had a good time. That's it.
Let's talk about it.
You guys saw it. You guys all watched it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of cool apps on tablets.
So here's what they did. They basically walked through most of Honeycomb on the Motorola Zoom. And didn't really show us a whole lot that we hadn't seen before. The big difference this time was we actually got to touch and use some of the tablets and not just see a demo. And after playing with the emulator, I was pretty familiar with it, so I didn't walk out of there like, oh, wow, this is all new. But it was good to see. It was nice and quick and fast, and I'm actually really excited about where the tablet platform's going to go. What else? They had probably about 15 developers there. Some of them we know, like SwiftKey, Ngimoco, who else? I forget the actual developers' names. You know the apps. We Rule, Dungeon Defenders, Words with Friends. That's a big one. That is a big one. Who else? Google Body. Let's talk about the apps. So I've got almost all the videos up online. We'll get the rest up tonight. Let's just go through the list. TapTap Revenge is coming. That is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Google Body. Have you guys seen that video?
That is cool.
It was awesome.
Yes.
It's kind of like Google Earth for the human body. You can peel back layers. You can peel back the skin and see muscles, bones, organs. Really, really cool.
I just hope that the UI elements are local on your phone so I can release a nude patch.
You know that's it's going to be like The Sims all over again, right?
Yep.
I liked how the guy said a man is coming soon.
Yeah. So the first body they did was a woman. I guess you have to pick one. I'm sure they had a reason. I didn't ask why. I didn't want to seem like that guy. But a very, very cool app. What else? Pulse News Reader. We've seen that before on the phones. Looks really nice on the tablet. Rule, SwiftKey, which we'd seen a sneak preview of before. SwiftKey's going to be interesting. If you haven't watched that video, the keyboard's basically split in half, with half of it on the far left, half on the far right, and a numeric keypad in the middle. It takes a little getting used to, so I'll be interested
to see how... So you did use it?
I used it for a minute. You can't really test a keyboard after a minute, and they're still working on it. It's still a work in progress. Three decent news apps, so CNN and Sports Illustrated, which I thought were very nicely done. I'm not a huge fan of the way CNN does things anymore. And don't, like I said in the post, don't get me started on these eye reports. But the app itself is really nicely done. They did a really good job with that. The Sports Illustrated app is pretty much what they showed us back at I.O. last May and what you get on the iPad, but very well done. I linked to a post I did back then. I'm a former print guy, so I'm really interested to see how print products come to tablets, and I think both of them did a really nice job. The Economist app, not so much. What else? Yeah. Weatherbug. Weatherbug looked really nice. So a lot of what was demonstrated was really to show off the new UI aspects, right? The new widgets, the tiling, the flipping, the scrolling. Anything you guys saw in the videos that we did or in the demo that really stood out to you?
All of those things.
Yeah, the way the page turns in the Google Books app,
mm-hmm.
I thought it was something like you tap it and then animation of the page turning.
No.
But when they demoed it, you know, flipping it back and forth, I was really impressed how smooth it is.
Yeah. Everything's really fast. It looks, the layout of all the apps looks really good.
The fragments thing is good, and we've talked about this before, so instead of, you know, only having one screen at a time, you can basically have, they're called fragments, so you have different parts on the screen at the same time, and think of them like panes, so you have one on the left and one on the right, and you can drag and drop stuff between them, and it looks really nice. Worked really, really, really well. None of the stuff is finished yet. They're still working on, you know, probably 80% of it, I think.
I'm sure. It's Google. It's not going to be finished until Honeycomb 3.1.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and what caught my eye is that, like, 9 months ago, we weren't even talking about some of these games on an Android device because didn't have the processor or the memory available. Yep. It's amazing how far we've come in just, you know, less than a year.
I feel bad for anybody who bought a Galaxy Tab at this point.
Totally. That's exactly what I was going to say.
I was just talking with Keith Newman about that. Mm-hmm. Same thing. It's a shame.
And the Galaxy Tab is not a bad device. I like it a lot. But compared to this stuff, compared to Honeycomb, compared mm-hmm. to the dual core, it was just bad timing, I think. Like, somebody had to be first. Somebody had to get a tablet out the door. But it almost seems like, well, I mean, I think there are a couple ways of looking at it. We're expecting something new from Samsung at Mobile World Congress. But it's either that Samsung just wanted to get something out, to say they had it out and, you know, get something into the market, or nobody told them. Or that nobody told Samsung that, yeah, we got this Honeycomb thing. No, don't worry about it. You don't need to worry about it yet. I don't know. Probably
I'd say it's the first of the two.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Well, you know, now that we've said that, the Tab's not going to stop working. I mean, it's going to just as well tomorrow as it does today, but even if Honeycomb makes its way there, it's not it just doesn't have the oomph that tablets like the Zoom or the G Slate are going to have.
Yeah,
it's not going to do Dungeon Defenders or any of these other things. Google Body. That must take a lot of power.
Yeah, and they said it'll get, you know, even better. Yeah, no, the original Tab is good, and I totally expect Samsung to bring something here in a couple of weeks. And they have a separate event for some U.S. based thing, so you know, we'll be there too. So, yeah, we're traveling a lot lately.
The CNN app was kind of interesting, right? Uh-huh. I mean, it's I'm a big fan of news, and so I like to follow, and you know, CNN among other sources. But, I mean, it is just packed full of information. It's almost like, could they throw any more media on a screen
type
of experience, right?
And I thought they did it pretty well, though. The main screen with all the stories on it, they call it the broadsheet, which I just find hilarious because that's an old print term, right? That's the shape and size of the paper is a broadsheet. So to transfer that metaphor over to the tablet, you know, somebody has a good sense of humor. But yeah, that main screen, the broadsheet, shows like 300-something stories that you can choose from, and it's too much, right? But they did it well. The thumbnails look really good. They're fluid. I got to wonder what something like that does on a battery. But it looks really nice.
Oh, it does look nice. The iReport thing is nice to have. I mean, I feel like every app they do has to have that now, but is good to see, of course.
Well, and it should. You know, our simple little Android Central app does that, right? I mean, you can take pictures and send them to us. So, no, that's good. I just don't like iReports on principle. I really don't like calling them that. the SI app, kind of the same vein, just really, really nice transition from print to digital. What else? But Nancy Grace, part of the app, yells at you and does so with a really bad haircut. Nobody. Nothing. Sigh.
Meh.
All right. Well, you guys have slept, so I'll take your judgment. And that wasn't funny. what else? The video all look good on it. The Zoom itself is still pretty heavy. It's a little heavier than the Tab.
It's still pretty heavy. Like, it changed in the last month.
Well, <you know. laughs> hasn't gotten any lighter since I used it last time.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about buying one, start working out, I guess. I'm excited for this next crop of tablets.
It's you have, you know, there's two-handed tablets and then there's one-handed tablets is the way I see it. You know, it's too big and heavy for me to want to use, but I want to use it in one hand. So,
yeah.
There's a little bit of talk, some of the other guys talked to the Google people, about how much of this will be coming to phones. And it's really looking like Honeycomb itself will not just, like, magically show up on a phone one day. They're not going to release it for a phone. But, yeah, we'll get elements of it. And I don't think that was ever, you know, really off the table. So we've seen, like, probably half a dozen stories now. It's coming. It's not coming. It's coming. It's not coming. We're going to get parts of it. What parts? I don't know. I mean, you don't need, like, an app bar in a system bar, you know, on either side of a phone, because we call that Windows Mobile, and nobody needs to go back that direction again.
No.
Thank you.
Yeah. Been there, done that. But yeah, I mean, we'll get bits and pieces, I'm sure. The widgetry, I like that name, widgetry, will come to the phone somehow. That would be nice. What else? That's kind of it. I mean, it was a very quick event. Hung out with some of the guys from the other sites afterward, had a blast, hopped on a plane, flew home last night. We're going to go do it all again Monday. It's Sprint.
But that one will be magical.
It will be magical. David Blaine will be there. Maybe he'll make the travel disappear.
He's going to make everybody in the audience levitate.
Transport me back
just
home.
What's...
Did they talk about the in-app purchasing at the event?
Yes, thank you. That was another big thing. So we can now buy items within apps. Big example of that was Tap Tap Revenge. So you can buy new songs to play. I'm so bad at that game. That wasn't me in the demo. That was the that was the developers doing it. And it's tough when you're not actually holding the phone. But yeah, so that's, you know, a prime example. We Rule is another one. Dungeon Defenders, you'll be able to buy new weapons and defenses, stuff like that. So that's a big deal, and it's all done through Google Checkout, just like now. And that is, it's not quite live yet. I think they said later this quarter. So that's coming. That's a big deal. The web market is now open, so I'm sure everybody's aware, and I finally just got playing with it today. It's not bad. It's still very version 1.0, but you can go to the website market.android.com and you know, install apps from there. You click the install button. If it's free, it'll automatically, as long as the accounts are synced, it'll automatically install it on your phone. If you buy the app, you can buy it through there. It does the same thing. It's a little wonky for me because my work email is through Google Apps, so I have to pick and choose which accounts are turned on at the same time, but that's kind of a pain.
I'm really excited about it. Looks so nice. I was checking it out today.
It does look a lot better. Have you guys seen the who was it? Was it Double Twist? Who had that really cool video? So you can have like a video preview, and they just did something really goofy. I forget who it was. You guys are no help.
Yeah, we
Winamp. Thank you, chat room to the rescue, Winamp. That was that. I didn't go to...
I'm wondering what's going to happen to AppBrain now.
That is a big question. That's something... All right, remember, they first showed us this at I.O. last year, and I ran into the AppBrain guys on my way out. I was like, so what's going to happen? They're like, oh, we're not watery. They're Scandinavian or something. I forget where they're from. And no, it's a very good question.
Switzerland,
yes. So I don't know. We shall see. Mm. I have a feeling they'll have something worked up their sleeve. You know, I mean, it's one thing to just present the apps. It's another thing to curate them, and they've done a really good job of that.
Yeah.
Anything else I forget? Was that the big stuff?
I think you got it all.
Yeah. We're sitting here looking at the list. We're looking at the script.
Oh, I went and saw the thing on it. I went and saw the statues. That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, there's a photo of you in front of them, right?
I got video, too. It's up on YouTube. Oh, okay. I haven't put it up on the site yet.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. It's out there. No, it was pretty cool. Like, the campus is, you know, nice and wide open. You can just drive around and see whatever. So you can just go do it. Everyone wants to know why I'm calling myself fat in the video, because compared to what I used to look like, I'm fat. Get over it. I have a complex.
He's not in person, though. Trust me.
Did you try to climb on any of the statues?
I did not.
Did anybody with guns threaten you if you did?
I did not. I didn't want to be that guy.
Okay, look out in May. I am that guy.
Oh, boy.
Okay, except we're going to be way up in the city and not down in Mountain View.
I'm in the same state, man. I'll get there.
Oh, man. So in the midst of all this, we had even more phone announcements, sort of, right? I get out to California, I'm ready to go to bed, and T-Mobile says, oh, by the way, here are the details on the G-Slate, which has, like, 3D stuff. I'm not sold on this.
Weird. Weird.
It's got, what, 3D video recording and playback, and the tablet is in three dimensions. If you squint, you get a fourth dimension. I don't know.
I just, you know, why, for your first foray into an Android tablet, why try a stunt like that? It scares me a little bit.
It's a little weird.
They're just marketing bullet points to make them look different, stand out.
Yeah, they call it spec bingo. You know, find a square that nobody else has touched on and put your thing there.
Yeah.
I'll believe it when I see it. I don't know. I want better battery life.
Yes.
What else? The Galaxy, what is it? The Galaxy S4G, they're calling it.
Yep. It's a Vibrant with a new radio, people.
That's it.
Me want, though.
Oh, yeah. Nothing wrong with the Vibrant. Oh, I didn't mean that way.
Just... Well, and it comes with Froyo on it. I mean, not that the other Vibrants don't have it now. But, yeah, no, it's the exact same phone. Oh, and it's got a front-facing camera. So you do get that. All right, everybody in the chat room is freaking out about this HTC pyramid that's been rumored. Here's my headline on that story. Next generation HTC phone for T-Mobile rumored to get next generation hardware. There's nothing in that story that you should not expect, right? So it's got a dual core chip, you know, dual core Qualcomm processor, which we know is coming. They said it's coming. We just, you know, haven't known when. You know, so it's got, you know, more RAM, whatever. I mean, there's nothing in that story that's new to me. So except for somebody gave it a code name Pyramid, which might or might not even be a code name. When T-Mobile gets involved, you know, you had that Project Emerald that meant nothing. So I don't know.
Yeah. We still don't know what that was.
No, we kind of don't. So, I mean, cool, but there's nothing in that story that you shouldn't expect. You know, yes, the next round of phones will have better specs than the round of phones we have right now. That's, you know, the way it works.
I hope all the rumors are true.
Sure. But,
you know, it's a good chance it might be just like the Desire HD, too, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I gave Taylor from Android and me a hard time yesterday. We had lunch. I was like, dude, so when's the post about the Android Music Store, you know, not coming out? When am I going to see that? Taylor does a good job with his rumors, and we have editorial differences on covering stuff like that. But he does a good job of explaining them out. So, no, that's something we're still waiting on. And that, I mean, God, we all have read the stories on how hard something like that is to pull off.
Yep, licensing alone.
Mm-hmm. That is a huge, huge thing. What are their phones? So I've got an HTC Inspire here somewhere. I think it's in my pocket. Let's see. Yep.
There no side loading, huh?
Well, here, all right, let's talk about that. First, let's talk about the phone. It's a 4.3-inch screen. It's basically the Desire HD. In fact, it is the Desire HD. 8-megapixel camera, dual flash, the new processor, the new Sense. Nice phone. Nice, solid HTC phone. It'll be out on AT&T on the 13th for $99, which is an awesome price for this phone, I think. That is perfect.
Great price.
Very, yep. Very good price.
And people in the chat are thinking that it's the Evo. It's not the Evo, guys.
No. It's better than the Evo.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How does it compare to the Thunderbolt as far as the way it feels in the hands? And
it feels
looks?
Wider. And I haven't held the two at the same time. But I remember the Thunderbolt just feeling smaller because it is. The Thunderbolt is thicker because it's got 4G radios in it, and that takes more room. So, you know, it's a trade-off. But the Bolt felt good, too. All right, so let's talk sideloading. So Nick Ray from HTC Source and I have been working on this afternoon with Jerry's help. I cannot sideload on it, you know, just like normal for AT&T phones. Nick somehow, through some act of wizardry and sorcery and witchcraft, can sideload on his, and I have no idea how.
You even tried the same exact app, didn't you?
Yeah. It appears that we have the same version of the software, but obviously something's different, and I don't know what. I tried wiping and starting over without any accounts logged in, and just have no idea. Can you use the ADB?
It is still beyond me why they do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, DroidXCon in the chat room is asking, can you use the ADB install command? Absolutely. That's how we do the sideload Wonder Machine. That's all that does. I mean, it does more, and Jerry did a great job with it, but that's what it does. So I don't know. It's weird.
It seems stupid. I don't know why they even do that.
For your protection.
My protection, huh?
For your protection.
It's my phone.
Well, that doesn't matter. You're just renting it.
Yeah, right. What are they protecting us from?
Well, they're protecting you from Chinese hacker websites that release pirated apps that they've snuck a Trojan in.
Because there's so much of that going on.
Well, I'm just, you asked.
No, I know what you're talking as if you're them. You're playing the part of them.
Yeah. Devil's advocate here. I think it's evil, and somebody needs to drive to their offices and smack somebody. But
I like the new sense too. A lot. I like the new tweaks. And I've used it before when it's been ported over and stuff, but it's fast on this, and that's the way it should be. The graphical changes are really nice. They did a good job with it. I like Sense a lot. I still don't know why it's not the UI for me, but I think it's very, very well done.
It's been in development for years.
They've put
a lot of effort into it.
Yeah, I mean, I used Sense when it first came out on Winmo, and just look where it's come since then. I remember when it came out before I even was doing Android, and it came out, and I was just like, oh, crap, this is good. I like this.
I'm ready for a new clock, though. I've been looking at that clock for 10
years. That's the HTC clock. It's got to be the HTC clock.
You know, for a phone that you're just going to keep in your pocket and use it as, for texting or email or to talk on, Sense does work really, really well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And for $100 on AT&T.
That is a great price.
Now, this is the Inspire 4G. So it's AT&T's new found 4G data. Okay. I'll do some data tests in the morning. Jerry's going to review this for us while I'm out of town. But, we'll see.
Can't do any 4G testing here on the frontier.
That's why I'm going to be first. But I'm still not comfortable calling it AT&T 4G.
Because it's not.
Roll with it. Phil and Mickey, just hush. You all are dinosaurs. It's 4G, baby.
Did you see the picture I sent out the other night from Mountain View?
Which picture?
I think you forgot to send it.
No, oh, I tweeted it. I had T-Mobile 3G out there and got to play with it. It was great.
So just to be clear, what they're calling 4G is HSPA
plus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
so you seeing the little plus on your screen there in Pensacola?
Mm-hmm. I am.
Well, there you go. What are your speed tests showing?
I'm gonna run one right now and see.
Turn off Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I turned off Wi-Fi.
Probably live speed test.
What?
Wow, Mickey, 50 millisecond latency. Go ahead.
Mickey, how come it seems
while you're at it.
Oh, the app crashed. How come it seems sometimes like data has to warm up to get going? You know what I mean?
Well, first of all, especially when you're doing things like switching off of Wi-Fi, it's having to reinitiate the connection with the 3G network. So think about how you do it with a PC card or USB stick. You actually click the connect button.
Right.
It's essentially doing that in the background, and it does it quickly. So it'll just fire itself up, but it'll take 2 or 3 seconds to do so.
Gotcha.
And it probably has to do that when it goes to sleep, too, right? Right, Mickey?
Yeah, depending on the phone, depends on how the network interaction is. I mean, a lot of times it just puts the connection, into a dormant state. But certain devices actually do handle it differently. And this is, Apple has gotten in trouble for this in the way that they handle network traffic. And they say it's to conserve battery life. And it's also, to make it for a better experience. And the network operators, are screaming. They're like, this is not good. It takes up, essentially more channels and more bandwidth. And it just causes us all sorts of problems. But I don't know. I don't know the actual ins and outs of how Android is doing it. But
I meant when the data goes to sleep. I know that's different on every phone. But when it goes to sleep, whenever it wakes back up, it has to go through all that handshake again, is what I was asking.
I would say only if you've done something to essentially close the connection.
Okay.
So on older Winmo devices, you could actually hold down. You had the little arrows that showed you if you were connected or not.
Mm-hmm.
You could hold down the end button for a second, and it would cancel it. There's, I don't really know that there's a way to do that on today's smartphones because there's no real reason to do so.
Right.
It used to make a lot more sense when we had, you know, you didn't want to always be connected. But
right.
No, not every time that you do it, it doesn't have to do that. No.
Okay.
It's what most people are experiencing is in that lag is just the latency. I mean, you know, in a perfect world, you're seeing, you know, quarter second latency, but I mean, that's pretty rare. I mean, I would say on average, I'm somewhere between 300 and 350 milliseconds of latency. And sometimes, especially when you get into busy areas, I mean, it's a whole second. And that's just the latency of the network.
Unless you're using LTE.
Unless you're using LTE, then it's freaking amazing.
It's
like, so great.
Right now we do.
Well, yeah, that could change in 6 months.
Guys,
we'll
that's
see.
The future. That's 4G. These incremental upgrades, I'll at most say it's 3.75G, but these are not the networks of the future.
Oh, gosh, don't introduce another numerical number.
Too late. I wanted to see a new forum, the 3.75G discussion forum.
Oh. Talked a little bit about LG, but they also teased whatever phone it is. Actually, they acknowledged Fandroid got a nice leak of the... of what is supposedly the Optimus 3D. More 3D. I get a headache just thinking about it.
Yeah, what is up with that?
It's like, guys, give me battery. I don't care about three dimensions. I care about battery. I want to be able to use the phone. And the other big question that everybody raises is, where's the content? There's no 3D content out there yet.
It's all vaporware.
You all saw that, haters.
Well, yeah, but we saw that Sharp Galapagos at CES. I was like, okay, cool, but why? Well, 3D porn. The chat room, of course, brings it back to porn.
And they beat me to it. Yep. Yes. Everything revolves around porn and electronics.
I'm not sure you want three-dimensional porn, but that's just me. not going there. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we'll be there, and we'll see what they have, and I'm going to try to keep an open mind about it, but...
Bring your camera because we want to see 3D porn.
Do you have to wear special glasses?
Well, if only for protection. But that's the other issue. It's like, how do I show you three-dimensional stuff in a video or pictures?
You need a 3D camera.
No.
Oh, my Lord.
You need to buy a G Slate and take it with you everywhere. That way you can film 3D smartphones with the 3D camera. Wait a minute. Yeah, you're right.
Marketing bullet points.
Yeah, I don't even want to know how big those file sizes are going to be. That's not good.
It ain't happening.
It is happening, and there's nothing we can do about it.
There won't be any apps for it, though.
Oh, I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Angry Birds 3D, that would be cool.
Oh, and yeah.
That's that bullet point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by... Don't play Angry Birds because Angry Chickens is in 3D. Somebody's going to do it.
Well, Angry Birds won't do it unless the phone sells, so hopefully the phone sells.
Angry Porn 3D.
No, get off the phone.
Yeah. I love it.
Let's see. We've seen, three different HTC phones, or maybe only two HTC phones leaked in the past week. They look like HTC phones, so we'll see what's new about them. Why is everybody making such a big deal about these phones not having a button? There's no button on it. Okay. You think it's not possible that they could do volume controls on the screen somehow? Or, I mean, this isn't cutting-edge stuff.
That sucks.
What, you want buttons?
Yes. I want buttons.
It's... Okay. It's easier. It's more interactive.
If I'm doing something, I want to be able to reach into my pocket... And if I forgot to put my phone on vibrate, I want to be able to tap that volume down and shut it off.
Yes.
Yes.
I agree.
And like Flavie said, yeah, I still want a trackball on my phone too. So don't take what I say with that much. You know, use that grain of salt.
I can live without the trackball. That's why I like the physical buttons on the Droid X, though, because I can wake it up as I'm pulling it out of my pocket.
Yep. Yeah.
And you can do it with the trackball on the Nexus, Nexus 1 too. But what other phones do we get? The Optimus V. For Virgin Mobile is available now for $150. How about that being more expensive than the Inspire?
I mean, yeah, but that's off contract, man.
Off contract,
that's true.
Yeah, that's pretty dang good.
You can get a really good phone for $150 for in a cheap plan to run it. I love it. Bring them on.
I stand corrected. Is that it for hardware? I think it is.
How many letters do we have now for the Optimus?
S-T-U-V-M-W-X-Y-Z.
Oh, wait.
And in the chat, they're asking, is Virgin Mobile even good? Mostly it's Sprint.
Yeah.
Like 90% of their network is Sprint, so.
And then the other 10% is Sprint as well.
Do they,
is it?
Yeah.
So they don't do, like, do they do roaming agreements with Verizon like they do with, like, if you're in a no Sprint area, will you get Verizon?
Not so much.
No?
Not so much.
Yeah.
I would stay away from Virgin unless you've got, you know, you've got great Sprint service, which if you live in a metro area, you're probably fine, but no roaming.
I tried one of their MiFis and it was So yeah, definitely try it.
Virgin has a MiFi?
Yeah, like $40 a month, unlimited data.
Yeah, wow. That's a great deal. Yep.
That's not the one they just canceled, is it? Somebody just
canceled. That was the iSpot, right. I think.
Yeah.
But if you're somewhere where it works, it was great.
So where were we? What else? I'm gonna talk some software real quick. Not a whole lot of software this past week. I mean, we just saw like 15 apps in 24 hours. The official Blogger app for Android is now out. I know a lot of people use that for their blogs. I use it for mine.
It works really good.
Does it?
The app does. Yeah.
Yep. Is that something you do on your phone versus a laptop?
I have, yeah. If you're out and you take a picture of something and you want to post it, absolutely.
Sweet.
You know, it's not going to make anybody a blogger. That isn't into it, but if you are, it worked really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you could do like whole posts that way real quick, right? Take a picture.
Yeah, pictures. That's what I did to test it. Yeah, it worked great, man.
Take a picture, write it up real quick, post.
Yeah. So I mean, we need to see Corey Streeter.blogspot.com. I'll expect that in the morning.
I can't even get the ones Phil asked me to do.
That's right.
Done.
Google Maps was updated. You can now check in on Google Maps. We were talking about this at lunch yesterday. Me and Taylor from Android and me and Andrew from Androinica. It's like, it's a cool thing, but nobody sees it. Like, I can check in on Google Maps, but nobody I know, like, knows that I've checked in anywhere, right? Like, if you do it on Facebook, at least, you know, 400 people see it. Or if you do it on Foursquare, you know, a lot of people see it. But, like, who sees it if I check in on Google Maps?
Well, anybody that you're friends with on Latitude.
Which no like one uses. People.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I can't leave Latitude on.
I don't know
on.
Why that never took off.
Actually, God, I think Latitude might still be on. You can see what side of the house I'm in, which is why I don't use that Latitude. I don't know. It's an interesting idea. I'm not sure that Google Maps needs it.
No.
Well, they let you shut it off, so.
That's true.
I can deal with that.
OS update news. We actually have some breaking OS update news, sort of. Google just released the new version numbers, who's on what and how many. So 90% of phones are now on 2.1 and up.
Sweet.
That's a good thing, right? The majority of that is Froyo, believe it or not, at 57.6%. Android 2.1 has a big chunk.
And that 10% of that's due to Corey and his work with the Fascinate. So we want to congratulate him.
Oh, my God. Finally.
Gingerbread is at 0.8%. And I don't know. Have we talked about this? Are we assuming these are all, like, official builds and not, like, ROMs and stuff?
Yeah. It'd be any ROM that's Gingerbread that checks into the market.
I guess. Yeah. So that's probably a whole bunch of, not a lot in the scheme of things, but, you know, a bunch of Nexus and then a bunch of CyanogenMod.
Yeah.
And then the others. And not to say there aren't other good ones out there, but those are the big ones. You know, everybody keeps asking why CyanogenMod can get theirs out first, and, you know, we're still waiting on it. Even the Nexus one's starting to get a little iffy. I'm starting to wonder why we haven't seen an official build for that yet. But like all the other phones, I mean, CyanogenMod, for as great as it is, the numbers that they have to support are so much smaller than what carriers have to deal with.
Yeah.
And they handle bug fixing a different way.
Yeah.
If you can load CyanogenMod, you can also load this and type this in to make this work. But if you go over to AT&T and say, my phone stopped working, and they tell you, well, hook it up to your computer and type this command in, you're going to tell them where to go.
Ain't going to be pretty.
Right. Yeah, I prefer the way it's done on Cyanogen Mod, but
me too. Let's see, the Motorola Click XT, if you have it, and you have it with, what is it, donut or cupcake? I forget which. 1.5 is cupcake. Cupcake. That's it. You're stuck with it.
Yeah.
Not getting a Claire, no Froyo, just root the thing. Go to the forum.
So I expect to see Never Again at the end of every post
Never Again,
what,
Never
It's a year-old phone? No.
It can't run anything else but Cupcake, can it?
Yeah.
Runs 2.1.
Well, then it's out there. For whatever reason. And who was I talking? I was talking with David from T-Mobile News on Twitter about this. He's not happy with the way Motorola and T-Mobile did this. I think it's fine. I think they did a good job. You know, a while ago they said it was going to get it. It was on that Motorola chart. Then they went into the forums and said, you know, hey, we tested it out. It's just not going to happen. I saw it on Facebook. You know, I agree. I'd rather see like a press release or something, I guess. Some sort of announcement that's not in a forum and on Facebook. But whatever. And they actually explained like, hey, here's the stuff we went into and we looked at it. It's just not feasible. It's not going to happen. Sorry. Let's all move on. I thought they handled it pretty well.
No, they handled it horribly because they didn't say, since we're not going to update it, download this and unlock your bootloader. We do love you. That's how they handle it well, but they just didn't.
You think they have
95% of the people that own the Click XT aren't going to give a rip.
True.
But we don't forget about the other 5%. They count too. Come on, man.
You 5% are costing them money, though. I mean, that's the thing.
The other 5%.
A penny.
The other 5%.
I burned it up.
The other 5% are people like us that go through phones every 3 months.
Right.
Right.
So, I don't know.
If you bought one, you should know what you're getting into.
It was a nice little phone. It could have been. I liked the size, and I just liked the way it felt and wish that it hadn't just been laid by the wayside.
Yeah.
I'll cry in my milk. We can move on to something else.
Verizon's about to push a fix to the Fascinate for that emergency calling thing, which it's not a huge giant showstopper bug. It's kind of a big deal. If you used a pattern lock for some people, they couldn't make emergency calls. You know, you had to know the pattern unlock to be able to get to it. The way around that is to just not use the pattern lock, and then you're fine. But they're fixing that. That's good. I know people were complaining, right. Oh, we're never going to get a fix to that. You're getting a fix within like 2 weeks. So shut the hell up.
I wonder why, because that wasn't a Samsung issue. That was strictly for the Fascinate. So I'm just wondering what caused it. Neat to know.
That's true.
Well, and there's a feature in that list that they didn't put in the list,
really?
And that's that they started the over-the-air update today, and one of the problems that they had in the last one is that when you hooked up the phone to your computer, it wouldn't recognize the phone's USB, and now it is. So,
oh, good.
Well, good.
A lot of people are happy about that.
Yeah, that affects a whole lot more people than the emergency calling bug.
Yeah. Oh, people were not happy about that, including me.
Yeah, I know.
What else? That's almost it. Nook Color. Let's talk about the Nook Color for a minute. Will Shanklin's doing an awesome job in the forums and on the blog with this thing. I can't say enough about the Nook Color, but we have gingerbread on the damn thing. Or not gingerbread, honeycomb. Excuse me. Honeycomb, even more. Let me try that again. We have honeycomb on the thing! They took apart the SDK and ported it on there. I haven't gotten to try it yet. I just haven't had a chance, but I'm absolutely going to do it. Nobody else is excited.
Do it right now.
I made the mistake of not getting one, and now they're gone.
All right, so here's the thing about that. Initially, a story came out saying that they had started pulling stock and quit selling it because they're going to retool it so you can't hack into it, so you can't root it. It's looking like that's a little less true, maybe, and that it was just an inventory thing. They had a problem with the way merchandise was being tracked, and they just kind of had to stop everything they were doing and basically count or something like that. So I'm not entirely sure. We'll see. It'd be a horrible thing if that's what they were doing.
Yep.
But I don't think so. I'm not betting on it.
I really don't think so either, but I like to latch onto something so I can say never again.
Yeah, try not to leech anymore, will you?
Yeah.
We don't have any voicemails this week because you guys out there were slacking. But we do have a bunch of good
emails. Not one?
Not one. I'm disappointed.
I'll call in one next week.
I appreciate it. Let's do some emails, though. We got a bunch of good emails. I will start. Andrew writes, I'm looking for some books he would recommend to start learning how to make Android apps. I'm studying engineering right now, but have no programming experience, and I sure could learn. Any suggestions? Jerry, what was that one that we did a contest with?
The Android Developer's Cookbook.
There you go.
It's not the most in-depth one out there, and it's also not Android Development for Dummies. It was right there in the middle. But it did a really good job walking you into it from, okay, your computer has nothing on it, let's get it set up, through to building your own app. So I really liked it.
There you go. Go to the bookstore.
Sweet.
They got a bunch there. Did you guys see what happened? So I tech edited a couple books, and I was at Barnes & Noble one day, and I found one. It's like, oh, cool, look, there's my name. And they misspelled it.
Nicholson. Nicklinson. Nicklinson.
Sigh. Anyway. All right, who's next?
All right, I'll take it. Dominic, he says, is there a good reason to buy a dual-core phone when Froyo does not support the dual-core functionality? Yeah, Gingerbread. After the Honeycomb event today, I know Honeycomb supports both cores. Should I wait for the manufacturers to update the phones to Honeycomb before I buy the Optimus 2X or the Atrix 4G? Thanks, guys. I don't know that I would say just because of the lack of support is the reason not to buy them, but I would love to take someone who's got more interest in cores to answer that one, too.
Jerry, have you read through that thing NVIDIA sent us the other day?
Yeah. It's some of the stuff. I think the biggest problem is until you get to Honeycomb, the Dalvik interpreter doesn't support dual core. And that's all your apps. There is, there's always going to be things like, what's that Dungeon Defenders? Dungeon Defenders uses both of your cores if you're playing it and you have them. But it's programmed in C through the native development kit. It doesn't run on the Dalvik machine. So that's going to be your difference. Any developer can write an app that's going to work, work both cores, maybe not as efficient as it could be without real ONS or real OS support. But, until Android gets support for the Dalvik and, all the parts of the OS, there's going to be a difference.
So why are we getting such good benchmarks on these different phones? Are the apps designed to handle that or what?
No, just because the processor, even one core, is fast. You look at the Tegra, just one core on the Tegra with that NVIDIA GPU, it's fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Tegra only running half is almost as fast as the Hummingbird all decked out.
Yes. I wouldn't wait.
Because the developers will get a hold of the Tegra and make it faster.
Yeah.
Even on one core.
I wouldn't wait. All right, who's next?
So, Mark, enjoyed the podcast last week. I heard the comments about dual-core phones and how they have made phones such as the Evo second-class devices. That may be, but I recently upgraded the Evo from a Pixie Minus, and the phone feels like a rocket in comparison. It would be interesting to have a test on how quickly the various phones complete common tasks. I have actually thought about that a little bit today.
Yeah.
And, I picked up my Fascinate and I was playing around with it. And I thought, if I did some benchmarks and the thing said 10,000, I'd believe it, right? I mean, it performs really fast. It does everything that I do on an everyday basis really fast. Who cares what the benchmarks do? Who cares if it has a dual core processor? Who cares about it? It performs fast for my needs.
Mm-hmm.
So all this stuff about dual cores and benchmarks and all that other stuff, it just doesn't matter.
Benchmarks are fun to do, and they're sort of important just to kind of compare things. But, anytime I get a tip saying, I just got, 3,000 on Quadrant, and I don't care because I'm not sitting around, doing Quadrant all day. I need the phone to do other things. So, that number means nothing to me. It's fun to, see them for comparison's sake, But even then, you know, the benchmarking apps aren't necessarily, like, for the dual core stuff, they're not written for that yet. You know, that's not right. to say it didn't beat the pants off everything else on the 2X. But,
And it's different. Leak Dave in the chat room just mentioned the Nexus S broke 4,000. Leak, I can make mine break 5,000. But doing things to make better benchmarks does not equate to a better running phone. I can break 5,000, but my phone only runs for about 30 minutes before it has to shut off. You know what? So it's no good. You know, that doesn't make the phone any better. No. You know, the only thing I think a benchmark is good for is, okay, I'll benchmark the phone, then I'll make a change and benchmark the same phone with the same program and see mm-hmm. how it changed. Other than that, I mean, Corey hit it perfectly. If you pick up a Verizon Fastnate or an Epic, granted there's a little bit of wonkiness with the file system, but they run fast, they run smooth, they do exactly what you need them to do.
Somebody in the chat room called me insane, and another person brought up games, and they're right. I mean, I'm not insane, I don't think, but the gaming part is important. So if you want to play some of these games that you talked about earlier in the podcast that are available on tablets, you know, the dual core functionality and the increased memory and the operating system that's coming out to support all that is definitely important. But if you're not doing that kind of stuff, like this guy here, he's got an Evo, and for him, it's fine.
Yep.
Look at the list of high profile phones, high quality, high end phones that have come out literally in the last year, in the last, I'll say, 13 months. There's not one of them that I wouldn't recommend to somebody to this day. And we've done that list before, you know, Nexus One, Dink, Evo, Galaxy S phones. Yes, I absolutely recommend them. Droid 2, Droid X, you know, all those high-end phones, they're not dead just because dual core is here.
No.
And they're not going to be, yeah, even when Android fully supports the dual core, they're going to work just as well as they do today. And they work fine.
Absolutely.
Jerry, you got to read the next one.
Okay. I've seen this one before. Richard writes, "Hi, guys. Love the podcast. I was listening to the podcast today, and Phil was saying how Honeycomb had stolen features from Windows. Sorry, but every one of those three features mentioned have been in Linux for years, and then in parentheses, long before Windows 7 was released. So the Google guys are only guilty of being slow when it comes to enabling features that have been in the standard Linux desktop for a few years now, and Microsoft has ripped off Linux."
True. Facepalm.
True.
The neckbeards are after me.
They all rip off each other. I guarantee. And I'm not talking about the lawsuit about the kernel, but if you load up any Linux, you know, any flavor of Linux, you're going to find something in there that was stolen from Microsoft. And if you install Microsoft, any operating system from Windows 3X on up, you'll find something they stole from somebody else. That's how they do it. They innovate by stealing from each other and making it better.
And I use Windows, so I think if I used a Mac, I would have found more, I would have found more similarities in a Mac. So,
right.
It's as much that as anything else. Back off me, neckbeards. Back off me!
No, just tell all the neckbeards that, no, your operating system stole it from Xerox, and then they have to shut up.
Xerox.
Jerry's sending out a message to the neckbeard IRC chat. He's like, don't worry about it, guys. Phil's cool.
If Phil's cool, pick on somebody else, yeah.
All right, who's got the last one? Josh writes, "I have installed the Liberty ROM on my Droid X and love it. However, I would like to try other ROMs as well. My problem is having to reinstall everything. Is there a way to reinstall via the SD card all the apps I have downloaded? I use Couch's Bootstrap." Is it Couch or Couch?
Couch. It's Couch.
All right. I use Couch's Bootstrap to do an Android backup. Please help if you can. Thanks.
Look at the chat room.
Yes. I mean, that's the answer I would have given. Titanium backup. Yep. I mean, it's the way to go.
And spend the $6 if you flash a lot. You spend the $6, you can just one click and reinstall everything. You don't have to push any buttons. You can set it down and go have a beer.
Man, compared to the old sashimi days on Winmo, we had to like go in and point XML files, and it was such a pain in the ass. It was kind of fun to set up.
But it was so fun.
Yeah, oh my god. I mean, look, I'm a nerd, and I don't mind doing that stuff, like, once. But, oh, it was a huge pain in the ass. Yeah, like, ROM manager and Titanium backup will, and Android backups will save your ass. Just six
and Leak Dave, does Titanium backup work over the cloud? Yeah, it works with Dropbox.
Mm-hmm.
So flash your ROM, sideload Dropbox, set it up, sideload Titanium backup, and go.
Sideload?
Well, sideload. You know, or go into the market and sign up and do it. I always reinstall my apps before I sign up to the market.
I think that's it. That's a lot of stuff. So here's what we got coming up next week. Monday, I will be in New York City for the Sprint event. Dieter's going to a Dell thing on Tuesday. Don't know what it is. Might not even be Android. Might be Windows Phone 7, for all we know. But keep an eye out just in case. See, Wednesday, he'll be at HP. That's obviously not anything we care about. Actually, it is something I care about because I want to see this tablet. I'm really curious about that. And then Friday, we head over to Spain. We go to Barcelona next Friday. So it's going to be busy. I'm not entirely sure if we're going to do a podcast next week. If we do, it'll probably be during the day, just because I'd like to see my family a little before I leave for a week, especially with as much as I've been gone. So we'll give everybody a heads up and figure things out and let you know. But appreciate you being with us and sitting through my sick self tonight. We'll clean things up for the recorded version, but I know it's not easy and I sound really weird.
I'm ordering you to bed rest.
Yeah, yes, I'm going to bed as soon as we're done here. Let's give something away first. So Google gave us those little Android robot mini collectibles things, and I have one. I don't know what kind it is. It's sealed. Haven't opened the box, and then it's in a little plastic pouch. So let's give it away. Yes, so everybody copy and paste that into Twitter and go post it right now. We'll wait.
Now, how do you pick a winner?
I just pick one randomly.
Oh, I gotcha.
And if you're not following us on Twitter, you suck and should. Mickey, wrap us up.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to podcast@androidcentral.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 888-468-6158. Type in extension 222. Please do so this week. We need some voicemails. You can also follow us on Twitter. You can find the site at Android Central. Phil is at Phil Nickinson. I am at TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is at GB Hill. Corey is at C Streeter. You can also follow all of the Android Central writers over at Android Central. The entire podcast and site brought to you by the Android Central Store, found at store.androidcentral.com. Call 888-468-6158 to place your orders.
So that's it. We might be back next week. You might have to wait and hear from us in Spain. I don't know. We'll let you know. Thanks for a good podcast. Thank you, chat room.
Casting in Spanish?
No, definitely not.
We can barely do it in English.
We will be podcasting in some form. We will figure that out. So, that is it. Thank you, Mickey. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Corey. Thank you, chat room. Thank you, everybody listening at home later on the recorded version.
Thank you, Puxatawny.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you, Phil.
6 weeks a winner. I don't know. Did you see a shadow?
Oh, my gosh.
No.
No, I think it's early spring. I don't know.
Everybody,
how many phones will there be in spring? 20? 30?
I don't know.
Sky's the limit?
Everybody be safe out there with all that crazy weather. It's almost cold enough here, I have to wear shoes. That's it.
Shoes.
We'll see you in a week or two. Later, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night.
God, that was the most unenthusiastic ending ever. Let's try that again. See you later, everybody.
Good night.
I can't think of anything. Bye, guys.
Stick a fork in us.